Well, guys, thank you for being here today. We are in the book of John, and so go ahead and open up your books or your Bibles to the book of John. And for those of you that don't have a Bible, if you need one, we have plenty, but it's really small print, so you won't be able to read it. So we're thinking about getting either large print or Braille, because the things we tried to read them Wednesday night. It was like hilarious. We were all like, you know, so if you don't have your Bible, pull it up on your phone. We're in John chapter 5, and we're going to start right at the beginning. So let's just dive in. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, a couple things just about that first couple verses. Does anybody have the King James that you're reading out of? You're reading that out of the King James? You had verse 4. We don't have verse 4. And I'm kind of give you a little bit of background, probably more that people don't know. In the King James, there was verse 4 basically says, an angel would come down and stir up the water. And when the angel would stir up the water, the first one that got in the water got healed. And all the rest, they lost the lottery. You know, so Jesus and God, they don't play the lottery. So where did that come from? Well, it came from a couple of different places. First off, when people were writing down the Bible and the scribes were writing down the Bible, they would put notes in the margins and things. And this is one of the notes that was in the margin. And the earlier manuscripts didn't have it at all. So where did this idea come from? Because obviously there were a bunch of lame invalids, all these people that are laying around this pool, and it's huge. It's huge. Five colonnades that would kind of shelter you from the sun, but it something would cause the water to bubble occasionally. And so they think maybe there was a mineral spring, and so it was healing water for the most part. But occasionally when the fissures under there would cause something to bubble, they thought like, oh, an angel is stirring it, and they would all jump into the pool. So is that where it kind of came from? I don't know. I have a doctorate in this, and guess what? They don't know either. So some people say, like, you know, the idea, though, for me, this is just me, the idea that God would play a lottery and said, okay, which one of you lame people can get in the water first? You'll be healed, and the rest of you just have to lay there for 38 years. That makes absolutely no sense to me. But you can take it how you want it. So just a little bit of background there. The feast, it was one of the Jewish festivals. It's probably not one of the main ones. It might have been Purim. We don't know for sure. But Jesus went up to Jerusalem during this particular feast. And while he's there, he sees these people gathered around the pool. 38 years. Did you catch that? That man had been laying on his bed, on his mat, for 38 years, watching, hoping that something was going to change. But in 38 years, not anything had changed. Sitting on that mat basically became that man's life. That became his gospel. His life is stagnant. He's unable to see that maybe there's something more than just that pool that's in front of him. So he just sits on his mat, and he's watching, and he's waiting, and he's hoping that things would change. And see, there was a belief in that pool that if you could get into the pool, that there was healing properties and it could change one's life. And it was said every now and then, every once in a while, that an angel would come down and stir the water, and the water would begin to bubble. And once it began to bubble, if you were the first one in, you know, and the man would try to get in there and never got in there first. I don't even know if he ever got in there. It never really said. But it's almost like, if I could just be the first one into the pool, if I could just get a little closer, if I could just beat out this other lame guy over here, if, always hoping for something different. As soon as the water bubbles, then I'm going to get off my bed. As soon as I get to the water, my life is going to be better. As soon as I am able to get into there and experience this healing, all my problems are going away. And you know what? As we look at that, I see a lot of similarities in our lives as Christ followers today. When I learn enough Bible verses, then I'll go out and share the gospel with others. When I just learn how to pray a little bit better, then I'll feel comfortable praying in a group. If I just went this way, if my wife would just be different, if my husband would just change his attitude, if. And we're looking at this pool of Bethesda that's in front of us that does absolutely nothing. Let's pick it up in verse 6 and see what happens. So did y'all catch that your Bible's missing verse 4? Y'all didn't even catch that? Now you do. Go back and look. You're missing verse 4. Unless you have the RSV or whatever, then you have verse 4, but it's in parentheses saying not in the original manuscripts. But if you have the King James or the New King James, it's in there and it's not even marked. Go check it out. Now, go check it. No, I'm just kidding. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him, talking to the man, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus asks this man, comes to him and says, "Do you want to be healed?" And after 38 years, what do you think your response would be? Heck yeah, I want to be healed. No, his response was, "Well, sir, I don't have anybody that'll help me into the water. And then when I do get close to the water, someone else jumps in first, so I don't even put my foot in there." I mean, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I'm pretty sure that's how it went. In other words, do you want to be healed? I don't know. And I think Jesus asks us today, do you want to be healed in your life? And we sit there and say, "Well, I don't know. Let me get my life right first, God." Do you want power in your ministry? Do you want power in your life? Or do you want to just sit on your mat in your bed and for 38 years, nothing happening and just make excuses? "Well, I don't have someone, you know, my church, man, I don't know, that preacher's crazy. I don't know. I go to this crazy church." Do you want to be healed? Well, I don't know. And so Jesus asked us today, because this pool of Bethesda really is an illusion, and it convinces us that there is nothing more to life than the circumstances that we're living under. It deceives us into believing that maybe there's this elusive carrot out there, and if we could just chase the carrot and just reach out and grab that carrot, then our whole life would be better. How many people you know that say, "If I could just win the lottery, my life would be so much better"? I've heard that. Anybody else heard that? Right? Okay, they've done specials on people that have won the lottery, and when after a couple of years, they are worse off than when they started. They've spent all of the money, and it's almost like the prodigal son. They took the money, they went and spent it in lavish living, and then they have absolutely nothing left. Oh, I wouldn't be that way. I hear people tell me, "Well, you know, Paul, if I win the lottery, $400,000 or $400 million, I'm gonna tithe to the church." It's like, okay, well, you're not tithing to the church now. Why would you wait till you have $400 million? You know, it's crazy. These deals that we make, this is an illusion that something's out there. Most of us say to ourselves, and we may not even say it out loud, but as soon as this happens, everything will be better. I'll be happier. I'll be more satisfied. I'll be well. Children say this. I was sharing with Naomi earlier. I said, "Please, whatever you do, quit. Don't get any older. Because now that I've reached 62, I can't hardly, if I sit down at the piano and then I stand up, it's like my legs are like this, you know? I feel like, woo, you know? Don't get old, because your body changes, right? You know, it's just crazy. But when we're kids, we can't wait to get older. Man, I can't wait till I'm 16 because then I can drive. I can't wait till I'm 21, then I can go out and do this. And you look at your parents and say, "I'll never treat my kids the way you treated me." And then it's like, I'm going to treat them worse because my kids are totally out of control. You know, it's just crazy. And we think as kids that things will get better when we get older. But then when we get older, what do we try to do? We try to regress. You know, I used to tell people my mom was, they'd say, how old's your mom? I'd say 29. And I was 30 at the time. How old's your mom? 29. I don't know. Because she always said, I said, Mom, how old are you? 29. It's like, okay. You know, we try to go back. We try to act like little kids again. We try to do things and we try to shift our lives so that it will be different. And it's an illusion. It's a pool of Bethesda in our lives. As soon as I graduate, I'm going to get a better job. If I can get married, my life will be different. If I could just get out of this relationship, my life would be different. If I had more time, if I had more money, if I had a better house, if he changed the way he acted, if she just would apologize. You know, what's the American dream now? You know, it's like work, retire, move to the mountains or to the beach. Some people are beach people, some people are mountain people. Some people say, you know, once I get over this grief, this hole that's in my heart, then I'll no longer feel sad. And you're waiting for something to happen. You're waiting for this pool to bubble that will never bubble. The only answer we have, Jesus is the answer. So when Jesus looks at you in your life and he sees you powerless and he says, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed from your financial mess that you've created? Then trust me. Follow my plan for financial security that's found in my word and you will find yourself out of that. But I'm in this terrible relationship and I just don't know what to do. Really? Do you want to be healed or do you want to sit on your mat and wait 38 years for this elusive pool to bubble in your life when Jesus is saying, come to me. As soon as you fill in the blank, the problem is there's always going to be another pool of Bethesda out there that's calling to us. You know? Oh man, I'll tell you what, once these new elections happen, then the world will be right. No. We'll end up screwing stuff up. It doesn't matter who's in office because that's the way we are. You know, we're looking for something out there that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. So when Jesus looks at you and says, do you want to be healed? Is our answer, well, you know, I don't have anybody that's going to lead me. I don't have this. I don't have that. Or are we finally going to bow down and say, Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. The imprisonment of this man is so great. When Jesus asks the man, do you want to be healed? He doesn't even say yes. Instead, he offers circumstances. And how many of us do that? Hey, what's going on in your life? Oh, we're good. No, really. What's going on in your life? Well, this, 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 and this. Well, that's the same this, 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 and this that you talked to me about 5 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever. Why aren't things changing? Because we know that Christ came and he came to give us life and to make it more abundant. And yet we find ourselves sitting on a mat by a pool, waiting for a pool to bubble that means absolutely nothing. Maybe it's like a hot tub, you know, just get in the hot tub and see if your life changes. I don't know. And I'm not suggesting, please understand, I am not suggesting that the circumstances of our life are nothing. And that they'll just that it's irrelevant and there's no effect because that's just not true. These are real situations. They do affect us. But we are, however, more than the circumstances of our lives. Do you understand that? We're more than these things that are coming against us. Life is not to be found outside in this bubbling pool. The life is in us. It is a bubbling pool within us. Christ gives us that living water, and it bubbles up inside of us if we'll let it. If we'll let it. Verses 8 and 9. Sorry, I'm just kind of passionate about this a little bit. Jesus said to the man, get up, take up your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed and he took up his bed and walked. Now you picture this. You know, some of the other stories about Jesus, you know, he would heal and then say, go sin no more. You know, he would spit in the mud, throw it in the guy's eye, tell him to go wash it off. And he says, okay, good, you can see. Now go and sin no more. But then here, he's just looking at the guy and he says, get up, take your bed and walk. In other words, I'm not going to put you in the pool. I'm not going to help you down the steps. I'm not going to stir the water for you. Get up, take your bed and walk. And it says that the man stood up, took his mat, and he walked away. And we're going to catch up with the rest of the story and kind of find out what happened in there, because a couple things happened. But that picture shows us that, you know what, you're still going to have your problems, but your problems don't hold you captive. You now can pick up and you can walk away and carry your problems away, and you have someone that has healed you instead of sitting there wallowing in our problems. I mean, every Monday at staff meeting, you know, I quit, you know. And Sandra finally just said, I'm sick and tired of you saying that. You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing this. You know, where's the power of the Spirit? And I had to sit there and think, like, well, you know, part of this was just kidding, but part of it was like, you know what? You're exactly right. It's not me. It's not this, you know what? If we had five more people, if we could just get a sign, if we could just get a children's space, if we could just get a better pastor, if we could get a better praise team, if we could get a bigger building, if we could get the air to come on the stage where it's like a 200 degrees up here. If, instead of saying, you know what? God has brought us here to this place. God is saying, you know what? Take your mat, get up and walk. But walk in me, walk in faith, walk in power. Jesus does not help the man into the water. He comes to him on his mat, and it's the same mat that we're sitting on. He comes to us in our problems. He comes to us in our lack of faith. He comes to us in our depression. He comes to us in our need, and he says, do you want to be healed? Because if you do, then get up. Take all that stuff. Just get up and walk. The man doesn't leave his mat behind. It goes with him. His circumstances are real. The difference is now he carries them. They don't carry him. Jesus doesn't just change these outer circumstances. Jesus changes us. Just like he did to this man, he calls us into a new way of being, a new way of seeing, a new way of acting, a new way of speaking, a new way of thinking, and that is called the power of the Spirit. When we finally surrender our lives to Christ and we're filled with the Spirit, then we begin to act different and walk different and live different. We can stand and rise, and no matter what life hits us with, we have an anchor in the storm. It doesn't mean that life gets any easier. And it certainly doesn't mean that we're not going to have to deal with circumstances that come up. We're always going to have to deal with something. But it makes our circumstances more manageable. Heard Bill Hybels put it this way one time. When we see problems or something, they're like these big beach balls that are in front of us. But if we could just see them as like little ping pong balls, then they kind of lose perspective. We put them in proper perspective, that it's really not a lot of stuff. You know, again, I'll say, Sandra, I have to do this. She goes, so? I'm like, you get no sympathy from Sandra. So if y'all have something and you want to ask Sandra about it, don't. I'm just going to tell you, because she'll kick you while you're down. No, not really. She's great, but she really is realistic about a lot of stuff. And so, well, I'm always having to do this. She goes, really, always? And I'm like, well, not always. How much? Maybe once a week. Maybe for an hour, you know, or something. And when all of a sudden that beach ball gets deflated and it becomes like a little ping pong ball, then all of a sudden I realize, you know what? I have been living in my power, in my strength, in my self-pity, on sitting on my mat rather than allowing God to say, get up and walk. Take your mat and walk. Do you want to be healed, Paul? Are you looking for some kind of pull that's not going to satisfy you? I am the only one that can satisfy you. I'm the only one that can do this. I'm the only one that can bring real change. And this life that Jesus offers does not happen as soon as. You know, as soon as I pay my tithe, or as soon as I say enough prayers, or as soon as, it doesn't happen like that. Jesus meets us at the place, at the time, in that circumstance, and we're sitting there on our mat, on our bedroll, looking for some answer, and Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And so that's my question to us today. Are you sitting on a mat? Are you sitting on a bed? Is there something in your life that is kind of holding you back like an anchor? Are you looking maybe in your life for some kind of pool of Bethesda, whatever it is, you know, more money, a new house, a new car, whatever it is? Do you want to be healed? Well, Jesus says today, take up your mat and walk. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that you display in loving us. Father, there are so many things in this life that weigh us down, that knock us out, that turn us around, that beat us up. And Father, we sometimes allow the world to have control. Father, help us to realize that you are the true power, that you are the true answer. That the answer is not some elusive dream out there, or enough learning, or enough education, or enough money, or any of those things, because they can be taken away in a heartbeat. Yes, Father, we want to be healed. And so, Father, I pray that this morning you would come into our presence and heal each and every one of us in those areas in our lives where we need your presence. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.